Put God First. I began to delve into the scriptures to see what I could learn about the sin of worry. My eyes were drawn to the words of Jesus that were recorded by Matthew.
But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
Matthew 6:33-34. The context of this passage is the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus shares the secrets of spiritual victory with His disciples. Like me, the disciples were fretting over so many things. They worried if they would have food to eat and clothing to wear. Jesus reminded them,
"So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?"
Matthew 6:28-30. That's the key, faith. The Holy Spirit then led me to another verse of Scripture that helped clarify this for me. Whatever is not from faith is sin, Romans 14:23. That's why worry is a sin. It is not of faith. God wants us to walk by faith, and yet, in His great mercy, He had already shown me so much. I had seen the reality of heaven, and I had walked with the Lord. Why should I ever worry again? The season of spring began with another visit to the earthly beach. From 6:30 a.m. to 8:15 a.m. on March 22nd, the Lord visited with me. He took me to the beach again, and this time He seemed much quieter than He had been 3 days earlier. Finally, as He sat on the rock on the mountainside, where we frequently sat, Jesus said,
"Don't concern yourself with testifying in church, Chunam. Concentrate on My work."
He knew that I was literally bursting to tell my story to everyone I saw. Even though I am a shy person, I felt I had to tell everyone what I had seen, heard, and experienced. My last visit with the Lord and my subsequent study of the Word had imparted a confidence and boldness to me that I had never known before. I felt as if I could share my story with an audience of millions. I took every opportunity I could find to testify for my Lord and Master, and I thought He would be greatly pleased by this. In fact, I had such a strong desire to speak on His behalf that I had rehearsed my testimony over and over again with the help of a tape recorder. The anointing of the Holy Spirit seemed to propel me into this kind of public ministry. Even when I went shopping, I told people about heaven. Some people reacted with surprise. Others reacted with joy and wanted to hear more. I told them to read the book when it comes out. Some people, as I could tell by their facial reactions, didn't want to hear about my journeys to heaven. But I had learned that their doubtful responses were not important. I knew I had a story to tell, and no human reaction could keep me from sharing the excitement I had experienced. I soon found that most Christians wanted to hear more. Many were asking, "When will the book be finished?" Most of the people I know are believers, including the members of my extended family, who all have given their support to me by saying they believe my story. As I shared my story with one nephew, he was drawn to the Lord. Now he goes to a Bible class and attends church regularly and is hungry for the Lord. The Lord was not displeased with me, but He emphatically reiterated,
"I want you to concentrate on the book. Then you will be able to satisfy many churches and reach the unsaved."
The sound of His voice, His words, His message was a wave of joy to my spirit. I began singing in the Spirit, and I noticed that the Lord was looking at my face and smiling, and I could see the face of my transformed body smiling at the Lord the whole time I was singing.
"My daughter, I enjoy the time we spend together.
the Lord stated as he placed my right hand under his arm. He didn't talk much for a long time, but finally spoke.
I want you to write about how you live your Christian life. It is important for others to know how you have lived your life with me, to see how open your heart has been to me. Your honest and obedient life is so important to me, and I know you always put me first in your life. When you pray, you always say you will put me first, that I am more important to you than anyone else or anything in the world. I want you to know that I've heard all your prayers, even though it may seem that I have not answered each one. I know the hearts of all my children. I cannot bless anyone who does not have a sincere heart, but I do want all of my children to be blessed.
After he left me this time, I reflected on his words. He had seemed so genuinely pleased with me, and I was thrilled to hear him say that he had heard all my prayers. He led me to an important passage in the Bible. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. 1 John 5, 14-15. God hears and answers the sincere prayers of his children. He showed me so many rich and precious prayer promises, and I knew he wanted me to claim each one. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, 15-16. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Psalm 145, 18. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33, 3. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Matthew 6, 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 7, 7-8. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21, 22. These were just a few of the mighty prayer promises from God's Word that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. On March 23, I was praying intensely under a great anointing from the Holy Spirit. My body was shaking very hard, and groanings from deep within my spirit were coming forth with a violence I had never experienced before. The Lord came into my room and sat by the window. Then I saw my transformed body sitting next to the Lord, and I was greatly surprised. It was as if I was having a total out-of-the-body experience. I was pure spirit. Jesus' tender voice spoke to me.
You are living your life completely for me. Your heart has willingly given up all worldly things for me. I now know that nothing brings satisfaction to you more than being in my presence. Therefore, I never want you to say that you are not good enough for me. Your faithfulness is very important to me.
An unusual, unearthly voice emanated from my spirit. This phenomenon usually accompanies the visions the Lord gives to me. Then the Lord showed me his feet and hands. I could see the scars from the nails in his feet and hands. At first he sat with his legs crossed, but then he straightened his legs. I noticed that the tops of both of his feet had deep, round scars on them. Then I looked at his hands. There were round, white scars very close to his wrists. My heart ached for my Lord and Master. I touched his hands and his feet. Then I put my face on his hands and feet, and began to cry in heaving sobs. I was crying like a baby as I realized all the Lord had gone through. I wondered if the whole household could hear me crying. I could see my transformed body with its face on the Lord's hands and feet, rubbing so gently, and I could tell I was crying in my transformed body. The Lord began to speak.
When I was on this earth, I lived for my Father's words, and I knew what I would have to face, but I lived for my Father's words. That's why all of heaven and earth are mine now. So many of my children know what I want them to do, but they still love the things of this world more than my words. The children who live with my word according to my word are the ones who are pure of heart. They are the only ones who will enter the mansions I have prepared for them, like the one you saw with your name on the door. No one can have both this kingdom and my kingdom. If anyone enjoys the word more than me, he or she cannot enter my kingdom.
This was the strongest message the Lord had given to me so far. I knew I had to record it carefully and faithfully so the world would know that He wants to be first in all of our lives. He created us and died for us so we would not have to perish in hell. He continued,
When I was in this world, I suffered until the end. I gave my life for my children. I want them to live with my word so that they can have eternal life with me. This worldly life can never compare with my kingdom.
When he said these words, he sounded sad and hurt. I'll never forget those words. And I know they are so true. This life has nothing to compare with the kingdom of God. I've seen it, and I know His kingdom is prepared for us.